Well, if you'll remember, about a month ago, our family went on a vacation down into Mexico, and under the guise of never letting a vacation to Mexico deny us of opportunities for sermon illustrations, I'm going to tell you another story from Mexico. Now, if you've ever been down to Rocky Point, there is this beautiful sandy beach, and when the tide is at high tide, the sand goes right into the water, and you say, my goodness, what a beautiful beach that is. And you can walk along the beautiful beach, and you can play in the water along the beautiful beach. It's really kind of nice. But when the tide goes out at Rocky Point, it reveals a very rocky reef that you can't even hardly walk on barefoot. It's sharp. It's got spines. It's got animals and critters. And it just kind of emerges out of the ocean. And all of a sudden, the sandy beach goes away. And what's left is this rocky reef. And you say to yourself, my goodness, I didn't know that was there. But it was there all along. Today, we're continuing our sermon series on the book of Romans. And we're talking about stress and anxiety in the world. And one of the things that I want to tell you is that when there is a lot of stress and anxiety in the world, sometimes it's like the tide that recedes and things surface that aren't very pretty and that are thorny and rocky. Some of you might be going through some financial distress. Your finances, because of your business, where you work, they may have lowered your number of hours. And so you don't have enough work to sustain yourself. Money is tight. I read a story. Gosh, this was like 2 months ago I read this, and then I couldn't find it. But apparently somebody did a study, and because of all the economic uncertainties and the things that are going on in this world, a lot of people are actually working about 25% overtime. So if you normally work 40 or 50 hours a week, now it's 50 to 60 to 70 hours a week to stay afloat. Well, folks, that's a lot of stress. And some of you may have relationships that are under stress because dad's gone working, or mom's gone working, and someone's staying home, and they've got a lot more on their plate because the other person's gone. Or because now the finances are tight, and so what happens is that you've got to really scrimp and save. And what normally would not have really mattered, and so financial decisions, well, I think we can do that, I think we can do that. Now all of a sudden, the tide recedes, and you've got to watch every penny that you've got in your life. You've got to watch your time. Relationships are under stress. I read a study in June about how divorce rates are up. And one lawyer said, actually, that his cases are going down because people are coming together and saying, we want a divorce. But when they start to look at it, they realize they can't even afford to get a divorce. Think about it. There is a lot of stress in this world today because of where we are. And a lot of you are living in anxiety. But we've got good news. Paul has good news to you as we continue our sermon study in the book of Romans. I want to start at Romans 12, verses 9. Romans 12, verse 9. And Paul really says this. This is kind of the context of the whole next rest of the chapter. He says, love must be sincere. Love must be sincere. When things are going in your life under stress, you're under anxiety, what Paul has to tell you is that love must be sincere. This word in the Greek actually means non-hypocritical. You must be the real deal. You must be genuine. You must be authentic. Love must be sincere. And I will propose to you today that in economic times such as us, sincere love is the answer. But what exactly is sincere love? Well, Paul gives a whole list of things here. They almost sound like the book of Proverbs because they're just little bits and pieces. But I want to concentrate on three things that Paul talks about here in Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 9. He says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And then he says, share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality. You see, some people in this world are actually doing okay. Some people, their tide is still in and things look pretty rosy for them. They may not have lost their job. Their salary may not have gone down. They were not working more hours. And one of the things that Paul says to you is to practice hospitality. If you're doing pretty well right now and you have a neighbor that is in need, show them sincere love. Show them genuine love. Show them the love of Jesus. Give of yourself to another person. And when we have a situation in our world today where we know people are anxious and under stress, what God is telling to people who have is to pull back a little bit and give to those who don't have. Understand that everything that you have is a gift from God. And what a great opportunity when you see somebody whose tithe has gone out and they're not doing so well. What an opportunity for you to show them genuine love and to give of yourself to them. That's the first point. Show hospitality. Show genuine love. But Paul continues on. He says, beginning in verse 14, he says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. What Paul is saying in this section of Scripture is this. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't take revenge. Now you're probably thinking, well, what does that have to do with our economic situation today? Well, we know that when people are under stress, you know, our tempers get a little short. Things don't always happen the way they should. And what a little altercation can all of a sudden build to a big deal. Because both people's tides are out. And both people's rocky shoals, their rocky stuff, is surfaced. And tempers are short. We saw a perfect example of this in the last 3 weeks. You remember this? A guy comes home from vacation in Chicago. Was it in Chicago? Goes home, or it was in Cambridge. Goes home to his house, and he's locked out of his house. And a neighbor calls the police and says, I think I just saw someone break into their house. Now, folks, it's an innocent thing. You know, the policeman goes and he checks out on it. But the guy had spent how many hours in the plane, has a headache, he's not feeling well. The police officer is there. He doesn't really want to respond to something like this. And all of a sudden, things start flaring up. And pretty soon, you know, we have the President of the United States in the beer summit, right? You remember that? When both of people's tides are out, it is so easy to escalate stuff. And it is so easy for things to build. You have to understand that one of the calls of the Christian is to just live peacefully. Don't let things accelerate. If somebody insults you or whatever, instead of taking it to the next level, step back a little bit. Understand that God wants you to be peaceable with everybody. You might take a horrible situation and just diffuse it right there. And I've known a lot of people who've gone into lawsuits because of something that started as just a little thing. And who wins when there's a lawsuit? The lawyers, that's right. Okay. All right. So those two are pretty easy, right? Live peaceably with one another. Help other people. Be hospitable. Well, then Paul takes it up a notch. And this one is really tough. He begins again in verse 20. He says, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not overcome evil. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. By loving your enemy. If your enemy is thirsty, give him something to drink. If he's hungry, feed him. Now, these are tough words. These are really tough words for our lives today. And when you're tide has gone out and it reveals things inside of you, there's two ways that these words may apply. One of them is that sometimes we have a hard time forgiving others. Sometimes we want to let evil overcome and not good. I was just at a session on Thursday and Friday. It was a leadership summit, and one of the gentlemen that spoke was a guy named Wes Stafford. He's the president of Compassion International, and when he was a young boy, his parents were missionaries in Africa. And all of the parents who were missionaries in Africa sent their kids to this boarding school. And it turns out that the people that ran the boarding school had no idea what they were doing. And they basically tortured and beat these kids. And they said, if you tell your parents' ministry is going to fail. Your parents are going to fail. And people's lives for Jesus Christ are going to be lost. Think about that. This guy was at a boarding school. And where he was beaten, he was abused every way you can think about at the boarding school. And he was told not to tell everybody, not to tell anybody. He had to take the abuse. And finally, at one point, he couldn't take it anymore. And as he was saying goodbye to his mother, she had to go by ship and he had to fly. He said, Mom, don't send me back. They're beating me. And it turned out that was the first time any of these parents knew that this was happening. They came, they investigated, they shut down the school. This guy had in his past lived a horrible, horrible, horrible thing. And when he was 17 years old, the tide went out in his life and it started to reveal these things from his past. And he had to deal with it. Lord, I cannot forgive these people. I cannot live with this in my life. But if you remember what it says in Romans 12, right at the beginning, he says, let your mind be transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. And he realized that God could take that horrible experience in his life and use it for good. And he realized that what he needed to do was to forgive those people, not let the punishment be meted out, but in his own body, not to carry those people around with him anymore. And when he was 17 years old, he decided right then and there that he was not going to let evil overcome. He was going to let that experience be the defining moment of his life. And he was going to let that experience create good for this world. He decided then and there that he was going to be an advocate for children in Africa and became president of Compassion International. Has been there for 35 years, and now thousands, if not millions, of young boys and girls in Africa are no longer starving. They're loved because of that evil. Don't let evil overcome. Let good overcome. There's another aspect of this, though, and that is this. Some of you in your past may have done some bad things. Some of you in your past may have let evil exist in your lives. And it's okay when the tide is in you. You kind of see it down in there, but you don't let it worry you. But in sometimes in your life, the tide goes out and it is exposed, and you have to realize that the evil in your life needs to be addressed. What you need to know, without a doubt, is that Paul quotes Jesus and says that I can transform your life. I can live in your life. Live a life that is transformed, even today. The evil that you have done in the past is in the past. I can forgive that evil. Now, from this moment on, live a life for me. And I know that you cannot relive the past. You can't go back and undo all the wrongs and the evil that you've done. But from this moment on, you can let good overcome evil. You can let the good that you do completely redefine the bad that you had done in the past. I think of the story of John Newton, the guy who wrote Amazing Grace, the hymn. At one point in his life, he was a slave trader, bringing back and forth people to the United States in the slave trade, some of them dying, some of them horribly dying. And at some point, he became a pastor. He came to the conclusion that the slave trade was wrong, but how could God possibly forgive all of the evil that he had done? But God did forgive him, and he knew of God's forgiveness, And he moved on from that point and said, I know I can't go back and change the past, but from this moment on, I can know that my God forgives me, and I can now devote my life to him so that the past no longer defines me, but Jesus Christ defines me. I can let his life transform my life. Folks, every one of you right now are going through some sort of economic or time or relationship turmoil in your life. You may be having things happening to you that are really making you at wit's end. And the tide may feel that it is out and it may never come back in again. What you need to know for your life, in the words of Paul and in the words of Jesus, is that your God loves you more than anything. Your God has died for you. Your God has redeemed your life. And he wants you to live for him, not as law, but as gospel. As an outflowing of that love, you live for other people. You serve other people. You live for Jesus. In his name, amen.